There we go. All right. So, first question was, what was it like growing up in a strictly religious household?
I didn't know any different. So what I knew was all my friends went to church. My parents took care of us. They were kind and loving, and I didn't ever know there was another way to live. So to me, it was normal. Up
So
until probably the last part of high school, when it dawned on me that we were not allowed to question anything in our faith.
yeah.
We were just supposed to accept it. Well, that started not sitting too well. The decline ensued after that. But it was seemed fine to me because I didn't know any different.
Yeah. So how did that end up affecting you later in life?
I think what affected me was I was not able to internalize religion. We had to go because we had to go because the doors were open and we were always there when the doors were open. It didn't mean I had to develop a deep-seated faith. It's just from exposure, we were required to be there and accept it. And so it didn't ever become a real part of my fiber. I think it's interesting that none of the three children go to church. None of us. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of telling, I would think. And maybe if you discover faith on your own and through a process of making a conscious decision, it becomes more, it's something you've chosen.
It's like something with Uncle Tim.
Yes. Tim lives, breathes, believes his faith. And I admire him for that, but it's something he has consciously chosen, not something that was required.
Right, and on that note, what sort of impact did Uncle David coming out as gay have on your family?
On the family as a whole, I would say we were more worried about our parents' reaction to it. I don't know if my mom was alive when he just, nope, I think mom was already dead because I remember thinking, why are you telling an 83-year-old Christian man that you're gay? I just couldn't imagine. I didn't say that to him, but that was my thought. What could you possibly hope to accomplish? It didn't affect me. I knew he was gay long before he ever told us he was. And I mean, I just wanted him to be safe. I couldn't possibly care less. I just wanted him to be safe and happy. And the effect was on Dad.
How did he take it?
We never talked about it. He and I never talked about it. I believe he was devastated. I don't think he ever talked to me about David again.
Really?
Yeah.
So that was
And
kind of
I
it.
don't think he disowned him. I just think it was such a great sorrow to him. I'm sure it made him feel like a failure as a parent and as a Christian.
Definitely.
And I don't think, and David really tried to be heterosexual. I mean, I really think he wanted to, but it's just not him. It's not who he is.
Not at all.
So for him to even try was a disservice to those that he tried with. Because that's just not him.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Well, it definitely seems very happy now.
I think he's very happy.
Didn't him and Richard finally get married?
They finally got married, and then both of Richard's parents died. I mean, I think they both died after they got married. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, David and Richard inherited Richard's parents' apartment, rent control apartment in Queens.
I saw that.
I mean, what could be better than that? $1,250 a month with a car and a doorman.
It's crazy.
So, and it's rent controlled, so
So they're fine.
I think they're doing fine, and I think they got married like I want to say a year ago.
Yeah, I
I
know
don't
it
think
was
it's
like
been more than
recent.
But they've been together for 25 years.
Yeah. All right. And I'm not sure if this is right. I was asking my mom about this, but what was it like having a mother that was a beautician and a father that wasn't Papa an accountant?
He was an accountant. My mom didn't work to provide money for the family. Dad made her, we grew up in Illinois, and all the houses in Illinois have basements. And so he finished a part of the basement into a beauty shop for her so that she would have some money of her own.
Yeah.
It was just a little amount. I don't think it amounted to anything, but it was money she didn't have to ask him for. Now, my dad, yes, was an accountant. He went to work every day. He was home by 5:45 every night. He didn't go out with the boys. It was either church or family vacations. So it was... I felt it like it was a normal childhood. Mom, because mom didn't work. She just did it part-time.
Yeah, do you think him not really allowing her to have a job, but kind of allowing her to, like, make her own money was super common then, or was that not very common?
It wasn't common for women to have their own jobs.
Because
their job in life was to have and raise the children and keep the home. That was the expectation. That was the only expectation that was placed on me as well. But that was that was a woman's role. And especially a church woman's role. So to even seek an occupation outside of the home, I don't think my mom ever thought of it after they got married.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't in on their discussions about doing the beauty shop in the basement. But I know it happened. And, of course, I never heard my parents argue, ever. Not ever, 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 never.
Really?
Ever. However, I always find it interesting that Dad may have thought he made the decisions in the family, but not. He just was allowed to think that, so.
Yep. All right. This one's a little morbid, but do you remember where you were when JFK was shot?
Yes, I was in economics class in junior high school.
Wow.
Yeah, I most certainly do remember that day because it was like a unbelievable event. Yeah. Yes, I most certainly remember.
So how did you guys hear about that? Like, did someone pretty much just come in and say, oh, did this happen? Or did you actually, like, see it on TV or anything?
They didn't have TVs in the classroom. Oh, my God. No. No, someone must have come in. I think someone brought the teacher in a note or something. And then she announced it. I don't remember anything. I don't remember if class let out then, or I just remember where I was and what happened.
All right, and what was it like growing up in a time where segregation was still pretty prominent?
I think my father was fairly bigoted.
Yeah.
You didn't move into a mixed race neighborhood of any races. The races were all, and it wasn't a talked about thing. It's just what you didn't do. I remember, I grew up in a suburb of Chicago. And so there were a lot of different races around us. But I do remember in high school being shocked that girls had problem because I was willing to share my gym locker with Mary, whatever her name was, Mary, and she was black. I couldn't understand why they thought that I would let my gym clothes touch hers. That was just unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I still find that absolutely horrid.
It is.
So although my parents didn't verbalize any animosity towards blacks, it was just in that era kind of understood that they were I want to say lower class and uneducated.
Mm-hmm. But you guys went to the same school?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you weren't able to live in the same neighborhoods, but you could still go to the same school.
Well, in Joliet at that time, there was one high school.
Mm-hmm.
So it was everybody's. So really
no option.
I mean, there were no other options, unless you went to Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
No, we go to school together, but I didn't have any black friends. Of course, I didn't live near any black people.
Yeah.
So there wouldn't have been, we just, you know, you played with the neighborhood kids, whoever they were. And I was always in an all-white neighborhood. No Hispanics, no Asians, no nothing.
Really?
Only white-born people.
All right. And I know we talked about this, I think, like 6 years ago from one of my history classes. But you mentioned working in a bomb factory during the Vietnam War.
I did.
What led you to make that decision?
I needed a job.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, that was, and let me think, how did I come across that job? I have no idea. But I worked in the production planning department, and the planners, I was like a secretary type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the planners would decide what kind of bombs they were going to make based on how the war was going.
So did you get to see all that happening?
No. I was just
just a secretary.
So it was a big employer in the town I was in.
Mm-hmm.
Joliet Army Ammunition Plant. So a lot of people worked there.
Yeah, so it's kind of like an Amazon warehouse or something like that, but just a lot of jobs.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. During that era, lots and lots of jobs.
What were you doing before you did that?
Well, let me see. I think that was after we moved from Ohio. I think that was the first job I had after we moved from Ohio to Joliet where my parents lived.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I was working for OK Trucking Company in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Were you doing secretary work there, too?
No, I was in the bookkeeping department.
In the bookie.
Of course.
All right. And what eventually pushed you towards nursing?
The honest truth?
Mm-hmm.
What took me towards nursing was because I knew I was going to have to support my children, and I needed a profession where I could make enough money to support them in the shortest amount of time.
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of people do it.
And as it turns out, it's exactly the profession I should have been in. I feel so blessed that it worked out that way, because it could have been absolutely otherwise.
Definitely.
But it gave me over 40 years of fulfilling work that I really enjoyed, and even to this day, I miss it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way physically or mentally I could do it anymore, but I miss mm-hmm. it. I miss every part of it.
Yeah. What was your favorite part?
Drips and drugs and wounds.
Drips and drugs and wounds.
Isn't that terrible? My favorite patient was intubated on a ventilator. Had lots of drips and drugs and open wounds. Loved it. I know that could be sick, but there are people that have to take care of those unfortunate people that have all those things going on. Because, see, I didn't really like people.
Yeah.
So, if my patient couldn't talk to me, that was a plus. If their families were all sad, they didn't want to just sit there and converse with me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were grateful for whatever I did for their loved one. I know that sounds awful, because after 40 years, I found out I did love my patients and love their families, and I was good to them. Regardless, I was always good to them. But if I didn't have to deal with people, I was happier.
You yeah.
might relate to that, of course. in a profession that is totally involved with people.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, at the time I went to nursing school, I didn't realize how much I really didn't like people. I just thought I was shy. Well, no, I'm just, you know, you can understand.
Yeah, definitely.
But it was good for me. I mean, when your mom and Uncle Tim were little, I made them order pizza on the phone so I wouldn't have to talk on the phone.
I remember my mom telling me about that.
Yeah, it's the truth. So, you know, maybe I didn't go into it with the most altruistic motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But I am so grateful that I did.
Yeah.
It was what I should be doing. So if you can find a work that you love, they say you never work.
Mm-hmm.
Although I felt like I was working.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
All right. And how have you noticed nursing change from when you first started till before you retired?
Well, what I noticed most of all is that the underlying thing I would see with new nurses is they were mostly concerned about money.
Yeah.
Money and how they could get the most with the least amount of work. And I found that a lot of new nurses didn't have the heart for it.
Really?
Now, yes, it was just, it was a job.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't who they were inside. And can you understand the difference? It's either, I don't want to, it sounds too religious if you say it's a calling, but it's something that you keenly are bonded to, being a nurse. And if you're not, then it is just a job. You go in, you put in your hours, you do whatever you have to do, and go home and forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that seemed to be, not with all of them, of course, but with a lot of the younger nurses, they are so motivated, perhaps a lot out of necessity, mm-hmm. by money, that they don't necessarily think, is this the work I should be doing?
Yeah.
Or could I be better at something else, or more fulfilled at something else, or find something that I feel greater a passion for?
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you know, that it's not everybody, but I did. That was that always struck me that about new nurses in the last few years, they just didn't seem to care.
I think I've noticed that's something that's just kind of in my generation. Of everyone's trying to find the quickest thing that you could possibly do to make money and then move on.
And then move on.
Mm-hmm.
In my era, I was trying the quickest thing I could do to make money and fell in love with it.
Yeah.
You know, so, mm-hmm. And I have worked with a few people that got out of nursing. It just, they found after years even, it wasn't what they wanted to do, and more power to them for finding something else, and hopefully they found something else that was better, more to their liking.
Mm-hmm. And I think you've mentioned before that when you went to nursing school, it was a lot harder than it is now, or that you had to do a lot more.
Holy moly! It was, okay, now, to get a registered nurse license,
mm-hmm.
you do it online, the test.
Mm-hmm.
You do it online, and it's like 60 questions.
Really?
I imagine if you got 40 of them wrong, you would be getting a lot more than 60 questions.
Yeah.
When I took my nursing boards, it was 2 days long, all day, paper and pencil. And each section was broken down into whether it was surgical, medical, psych, maternity, pediatrics. And it was hard.
It sounds like
it. I'm not hard, but I just can't imagine how it compares, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't compute to me that in 60 questions anybody can decide if you're qualified to be a nurse.
I think part of it that I've noticed is just with the older generation kind of getting to that point that they need to meet hospitals more. They're very short staffed on nurses, like pretty much everywhere. So I think part of that is just them trying to get as many people in as possible, whether they're good at their job or not. It kind of goes along the lines of, like, my generation constantly needing to be doing something to make money to move on to the next thing and just keep going.
That could very well be. That could very well be. Mm-hmm. It's sad. It's kind of sad.
It is. All right. When did you start painting, and what piqued your interest?
I started painting I lived in Friday Harbor.
Really?
Yes. So I was half older than dirt even then. And what piqued my interest was, how did it start? I was doing soap and lotion.
I remember that.
There was a co-op that was starting, Moonlight Galley or something. I don't even remember what it was. But it was, there were several different things. I did soap and lotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one woman, Terry, whatever, I thought it would be fun if she was a painter.
Mm-hmm.
She had watercolors in there. We talked, and I decided that if I wrote the poem, didn't think she could do that. She could put it on a card with a painting.
Yeah.
So I thought it was good. Oh no, she didn't. That wasn't her plan at all. Her plan was to hook me into getting painting. And can you see that? Where is it? Right there.
Yeah.
That's my first painting.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, that was my first painting. Yeah, it was. I think that was her plan all along. So she kind of walked me through the first that,
mm-hmm.
and then when I was I was alone. I mean, without a partner for a lot of years, Ben, and
mm-hmm.
it seemed like I worked weekends, so I had all week long to just do whatever. And another friend of mine, Teresa, whatever, she had a company of sorts and brought in like well-known artists for week-long workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took, I probably took a dozen week-long workshops from all these really gifted artists. And then that's how that was born. And then I had the sweetest little granddaughter. Do you know her?
I might.
We had the best times in my studio.
I know. I still remember your studio.
Do you?
I do. Very vividly.
Yeah. Yeah. That was great. That was great memories for me. And now I keep thinking, gee, I want to get back to painting. However, we're doing all this other stuff, and like there's only so many hours in the day, and
yeah,
and unfortunately I don't have stamina like I used to have, so
mm-hmm.
what I think I can get done, I can only do maybe a half of it, maybe. So yeah. I'm still hopeful I've got all my painting stuff.
Yeah. And my mom and I were talking about it, with your parents being so religious, were you not able to really get into art until like later in life, or?
Oh no, that didn't play into it at all. I was busy raising children.
Just too busy.
And I was a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad painted. He did oil painting.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't think I have any of his up here. No, I never even thought about painting.
Mm-hmm.
I crocheted and knitted and gardened and read and raised children and worked full time, and there was nothing, no, it never even crossed my mind to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're still pretty great at it.
Oh, thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, did you ever expect women's rights to be where they are now?
Yes.
You did?
Yes. When they decided to educate us,
mm-hmm.
that was their biggest mistake. Because once they let that beast out of the barn, there's just no putting it back in.
It really is.
No, and I think for us it's wonderful, but for the original men in the country, I don't think this is what they intended.
Probably not.
Probably not. I think that was, yes, as soon as women got a voice,
mm-hmm.
And that was like midst my generation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, before that, women were subservient to men and yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
But in, you know, in the 60s and all, we had the bra burning and
did you participate in that?
Of course not. But Valley. That's what was going on. Mm-hmm. And so once women got a taste of being out of the home, mm-hmm. they learned that there was more in life than raising children. Not that raising children is not a much needed thing in this world. Mm-hmm. But to make that strictly a woman's job, an expectation for her life. Mm-hmm. The only expectation I ever made on me was to be a wife and mother. That's all I was ever expected to do. Yeah. My brothers, all different.
Were they just kind of allowed to do whatever?
No, they were supposed to become breadwinners. Mm-hmm. They were to support their family and take care of their wives and children. And that was, you know, it's all generational.
Very.
So when they let us get educated and go to work, oh baby, changed everything. Mm-hmm.
What's the biggest change that you noticed from growing up in that to where women's rights are now?
The biggest change, say it again.
So what's the biggest change that you've noticed from, like, when you were growing up as a kid to kind of where women's rights are now?
I think mostly, and I said it just a bit ago, is that women have a voice. Mm-hmm. That's what I've noticed, because predominantly the government, corporations, have always been, churches, have always been men-dominated.
Very.
Because women were only supposed to be in the home. Mm-hmm. That was your domain, was in the home. So the biggest change that I've seen is that women are in all aspects of life. In fact, it was interesting. Coming home, I was looking online. There's a half-hour drive, and it talked about the 25 richest people, billionaires mm-hmm. in the world. Mm-hmm. Several of them are women.
I know. It's awesome to see it.
Yeah, it's like, wow, wouldn't have been that way many years ago. A woman couldn't even have a bank account or open an account of any kind without her husband's signature.
Really?
Really. Oh, yeah, really.
Mm-hmm. That's horrible.
Yep. But, you know, it's the way it was.
Yeah.
It's what women lived under for many, many years. Mm-hmm.
All right, and my last questions are, what's been the most important lesson you've learned in life?
To love unconditionally.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest lesson I have learned, and to let people be who they are. Mm-hmm. And pick your battles.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, and very last one. Do you have any words of wisdom for the youth of today?
Words of wisdom for the youth of today. Be honest. Mm-hmm. Follow the golden rule. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Well, thank you very much for letting me record this.
You bet.
All right.